Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, it will be Jeff Lightsey Jr. for the vast majority of this show, but just for fun, it's Phil Baker for right now.
Hi.
Sunday morning hangover star.
Yeah, no, it's I saw Jeff milling around here. He's been doing double duty today. He's got a little one on the way. So he's doing the morning show. He's doing afternoons. He's got a little one on the way. He's a man about town.
Yeah, he's real busy right now, and I've been trying to warn him a little bit, like, you're going to be less busy. Not less busy, like, overall, but just outside of your own home.
Yeah, that's we have she just turned 4 months, which is crazy to believe. And now between the three-year-old and the four-month-old, it's a different type of busy, but it's busy nonetheless. You have nothing to do but everything to do. It's weird.
You have to oversee at least everything, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was an absolute blind spot for me. So I love all the little sprinkles of wisdom that's being bestowed upon Jeff Lightsey.
Oh, we got this, right?
Yeah, he's... We will knight you, young Jeffrey, with that. No, but it's good to be in here. It's been a while.
Text into the UPS stuff. These are my favorite things. Before we've had a chance to say anything, it's just sort of like, this is what I'm thinking about, which I love. Really do. Screw Kenny Payne for his financial impact on U of L.
Yeah, it's funny. Shout out to Tyler Griever and Eric Crawford. They're the ones that still, mill around. Was that Grawmeyer Hall?
I'm assuming
that's where
When was the last time you were in Grawmeyer Hall?
Boy, I mean, it had to be
a press conference of some kind.
I don't even think it was press conference. I think it was when I was in school over there, and I think I was in the wrong building. Nobody goes out of their way to say, like, I'm going to Grawmeyer Hall, unless you were newsman Patty Ice that wanted to be the boots on the ground over there. But yeah, man, God bless those guys for going over there. So Eric Crawford and Tyler Griever. Getting some little newsy things that, you know, it's pertinent with everything that's transpired in college athletics.
Yeah, this is probably going to be, I think, maybe the primary thing that you'll hear a lot of discussion about on any of the shows here for the rest of today and probably on Monday, and probably like the content of this from him, from Josh Hurd in this athletics department meeting, the fiscal year kind of ending. And you're setting up your budgets and everything for this upcoming sports year and this upcoming academic year. He does that, and for the first time probably in a while, the athletics budget goes down ever so slightly and seems to be sort of beginning to position itself for what's to come here with what we know is to be some pretty substantial changes in terms of having to set aside a whole lot of money for revenue sharing with athletes now.
Well, and there's a couple things that we've talked about on the Sunday show and just around the office, and it's fascinating to me just the recalibrating our minds of just like the new norm in college athletics. And like Josh Hurd, because I don't say this to like call out Zach EC, but like I remember when we were doing the Sunday show around the KP being fired, it was just like, if you're a big boy program, you need to fire him right now, and it's over the Christmas break. And I had a couple people, and you know me, like I'm not one to be like, oh, sources guy. But there was a couple people that like were affiliated with the university, like, they don't have the financial backing to do that right now. And especially when you're playing, I always say it's the game board of Game of Thrones or House of Dragon coming out, the moving of the pieces to try to find the money. You don't want to upset this big donor over here. There's a lot of egos at play that you have to stroke that. So I think it was a fiscal decision for them of why they didn't make a move for that back in December when all those rumors were circulating out there, especially maybe they saw the financials of what was coming and just kind of the fastening of the belts that Josh Hurd alluded to in the clip that I'm sure we'll play in a bit.
Yeah, we've got a couple of clips from Josh Hurd, but laying out a budget. I think some interesting nuggets in there, but it's safe to say, Phil, none of the major sports can really afford to not be really good and not have, for those of you listening, a heavy amount of your support going forward. Like, this is crunch time. This is not unique, I think, to Louisville. There are a lot of places that are going to be looking at their budgets like, we've got work to do here, because now there are, I don't know if you've ever tried to like sort of live strictly on a budget. It seems like as soon as you decide, hey, we're going to stick to this thing, this is when like 15 unintended, there are unexpected things.
Water heater goes out. Yeah.
This is exactly how this sort of thing goes. And I think U of L, no different. It does not make me excited to look and see they're still paying Chris Mack.
That and the credit card fees, which I was talking to Nick Curran on the phone.
They're so relatable.
Earlier. Yeah, I was talking to, it's like 540,000 credit card fees to which Nick, who those don't know, like Nick's, I say this jokingly, like the assistant traveling secretary as well for the Louisville Bats too. So he's in Nebraska trying to coordinate how they get back with all the, you know, College World Series going on. So it's been an expensive trip. And he actually said to me, it's like, well, you know, we were talking about the tweet that Eric Crawford put out. Think about when you have to do the convenience fee or the service fee when you pay your electric bill, if you want to do it with a credit card over online. There's like a $2.50 thing. Now this, when you're dealing with big time college athletics and the bulk of money that's being injected in there, that's why that number jumps off the paper, because it's millions upon millions of dollars, and that's, which is
the volume.
Exactly. And that's where the 540,000 of credit card fees, which I know Twitter, not everybody's on Twitter, but a lot of were upset about where they saw that.
You think there's like an actual like credit card that they pass around the office like we do here for expenses?
I would say it's a little bit. They probably have a few that are floating around there versus ours that we at times can or cannot find.
Sending the email around the office, like asking who has the credit card. Bring it by my office.
But
so I can pay this buyout.
Yeah, I think with right, man. The Josh Papa John too. His last payment too.
Which of the ghostly payments that are on here pisses you off the most?
Man,
and let's go through them. Still paying Papa John to buy, basically buying him out of the naming rights there. Chris Mack is on there. Kenny Payne is on there. Credit card fee is on there. Not really ghost fee, but nevertheless. Man, basically paying for something that has no chance of giving you value.
I would say the one that shockingly, well, not shockingly because of what he said, it would transpire with all of them. The Papa John, because it was almost like he was on cruise control of just like a piggy bank for a little bit. Even with the Tom Jurich stuff, it felt like there was some financial stability, and that was kind of the branch at the time. Neely Bendapudi, for obvious reasons, had to cut that off, and I know a lot of people were trying, and just the ripple effect of that right there, and now in the state of college athletics where we are in 2024, that's one that probably sticks out the most, because you need every dollar, every penny that you could get, and you're just like, yeah, we can't do that and do business with you because of what was said and what was leaked out. The product, the Kenny Payne stuff, the Chris Mack stuff, they didn't feel good in probably the Bobby Petrino contract, but you had some good come from the Chris Mack stuff, getting the number one, the Bobby Petrino Heisman, even though the experiment was
failed. There were good revenue years under Chris Mack.
The Kenny Payne just, boy, there's not many good things that came from that. Maybe the feel good for the 80s guys felt good. I don't know. But other than that, I would say the Papa, just in 2024, knowing the economic ramifications where we are today, that's probably the one that stings the most.
I still think all the way back to, is when I first really took notice of Eric Crawford is a pretty fearless guy in terms of he'll just write it out and it doesn't matter who it makes mad. I remember him writing, not lengthy or anything, not, any sort of like rage-filled piece or anything, but I think it was called The Cost of Cragthorpe. And it was, how much is it costing U of L that they're kind of people are bailing out because they're so bad? And it wasn't about the buyout. It was about revenue-wise, what's happening, because a lot fewer people were going to games than were just a few years before. I know that they decreased their basketball revenue projections last year, and that, to me, like they came in under that.
Well, and then even spiking up the goals that they laid out for that, going to 30% increase to get the 12,000. Like, I have to go back to my childhood at Freedom Hall where it's like, what? The idea of there just being 12,000 season ticket holders, it goes back to, like, whenever I drive it around, I see a house that's, like, you know, way out of my price range, but I'm stuck in the early 1990s. Like, I remember when my grandma said that was, like, a $100,000 house, and now everything's, you know, like, $400,000. Sure, right. That's where I have to kind of retrain my mind of saying, wow, okay, it's a 30% increase to get the 12,000 season tickets is crazy when you're talking about global basketball.
The hollowing out of the core paying fan base for basketball was swift, and it's thorough, and I don't know how long it will take to dig out of that.
Well, and you look, I mean, let's be honest. You talked about Chris Mackerel. I remember going to a Clemson game with some buddies that were out of town, and I think they were honoring. Oh, man, this is with Chris Mack. So this was, I mean, off the heels of before COVID, but, you know, coming off of, like, number one ranked in the country. So there was some momentum and some juice going into that. And I know the second half of the season wasn't the best for that. But even then, and that team was number one at the country at one point. And I know they lost a couple games heading into the tournament before the tournament was postponed or canceled, I should say. Even then, the uppers weren't full, because I guess of what transpired with Rick Pitino still left a bad taste that a lot of people is about. And I don't think, like, you may not get some of those people back at all. Like, that's the thing, that you've cut off a lot of branches of the world. Now, I think Josh Hurd's doing a good job to try to extend that olive branch to a lot of the previous donors, but also just kind of Joe Schmo, who sits up in the upper levels that maybe weren't going to games. But there's going to have to be a product. And I think this is what you saw with Jeff Brohm last year, to make it a football-centric topic. They were able to cultivate and excite fans. And look, I mean, we always say it's the largest Catholic picnic party when Louisville and Notre Dame play. But Jeff Brohm injected some excitement that was sorely, sorely needed. And he was the, you know, prodigal son that was returning home. But a lot of people were out on Pat Kelsey. And I think with the roster he put together, you're probably going to see more people at the Yum Center. I don't know if it'll meet the numbers of what we were used to, but I think that's the type of play and style and the energy that he's hoping and striving to get for.
There's just no replacing. There's no substitute for lots of butts in seats at lots of games, consuming a lot of alcohol and buying a lot of merch. I don't know how else to say it better than that. U of L needs an enormous injection of all of that.
Oh, and look, I mean, I'm not the biggest UFC guy at all, but I had some buddies that went there, and I know Tanner.
I think I know what you're going to say.
And I haven't seen the arena look like that probably till since. Who did Chris Mack play when they were number one? Was that Michigan State?
Yeah.
I don't recall it feeling and having that energy like Michigan. So what'd you say?
Michigan.
When I said Michigan State. Okay. So
that big Michigan State win a year one.
Yeah. And there was an energy that I don't, I mean, Tanner.
I turned to Chase and I was like, dude, I haven't felt this good to be in this arena in like 3 years.
Because you were in school when Chris Mack's what, final year?
When Chris Mack's first year and then the beginning of Kenny Payne.
Okay.
So AKA year zero. Negative one.
Yeah.
Right. According to his standards.
Well done. But yeah, man, there was an energy there, and I'm like, wow, I haven't heard it. Like the Brazilian baby Hulk, dude. Look at us breaking down UFC on a Friday.
Oh, man.
But the guy did like a spinning elbow to the temple. Hey, look, I know UFC people have strong opinions about it, and you either like it or love it. I'm extremely indifferent to it. It was fun to go. But that roar that the crowd made, I was like, my God, I haven't heard the Yum like this in years. And you want that to return, because it's, I mean, look, this is the top college basketball market still. I pester the ESPN PR people. I've just out of curiosity. It's like, hey, like, can I get the ratings for like the top market still? And they're like, we're looking into it. And they, you know, I've kind of been bad about following up with it. But I always want to, it's Louisville, Greensboro, the Triangle down there, Kansas City. And I'm curious just like where that, because I don't think it went away. I just think people got checked out to where it's like, I demand better. I don't think it's gone. I think it just people are like, I deserve a better product if I'm going to invest my time and money in this.
Yeah, I think that's the question that I would love to throw out to folks. And again, Jeff Lightsey is shepherding J.J. Weaver over there with Strebel and Max Godby. He'll be over here for the rest of the show. But this is the question I think I really would like to throw out to people. Like, what will it take? What will it take to get folks more inclined? Look, I don't ever think they're going to be drawing north of 20,000 at games on a regular basis. That was already starting to slip just a little bit as part of a national trend. No one's really drawing like that at arenas that size for college basketball at all. But what it will, like, there's nothing this university athletic department needs more than a whole lot of people at every game. But they've had years of sort of being dissuaded from doing that. What will it take?
Yeah, the habit discussion is fascinating to me. Of just, you had the COVID sprinkled, the product wasn't as good. You throw all that into a crock pot, and that's a dangerous, dangerous stew of just, you know, fan apathy and things like that. But look, Pat Kelsey's done a great job. And I saw it on the text line earlier. I think Chase and Steve were talking about it earlier today on Maven, is that, like, you had people breaking down the shoe video of, like, which players were wearing, like, which jerseys to try to get a feel of a starting lineup.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of, like, gives me hope that people will...
That obsession is not gone.
Right. Yeah. And there's, like, we still... Sometimes I feel like we're in the fishbowl sometimes when we're too close to it, where it's like, man, it feels different. But there's still, I mean, let's be honest, 1, 2, 3, 4 afternoon drive time sports shows in a college market without pro teams. Sorry, Racing FC and Wolf, with all due respect to them and the Bats and Louisville City. But, man, like, the passion is here, and you see, like, people breaking down a 30-second shoe video of Pat Kelsey. And I know not everybody's on Twitter, but breaking down, is Chucky Hepburn's going to be the starting point guard? Like, who else would be the two? And there, people trying to go through the roster construct of what it's going to look like for a potential starting five. And with the Bahama news today that came out that he let slip on with Bobby V earlier this week about the foreign trip to the Bahamas, that they get to go to the Bahamas twice, like, over the course of, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
So probably longer than that, because I guess it's in November, but they get to have some fun with that. Is there some news that came out? Or
no, it's just Strebel's most recent text. It's some Nick op, like, Nick got him a bottle of Buffalo Trace, but he goes, Louisville fans love me too, and I love them.
Has he already dipped into it?
I hope not.
Is he?
He's got Buffalo Trace, but it was more the fact that he says he loves us, guys. This is weird.
Strebel with JJ. What a day for him. I mean, how big of a fanboy is he going to be when JJ Weaver talks?
Call JJ Weaver sir?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
does
so.
Does he ask him about the extra finger?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I thought so, too. I just want to
be. He has a thing called Weird Wednesday. He's going to be like.
He would ask it just like that, too. Yeah. Can I talk about your... Yeah. On weird... Yeah, he would. He would do it just like that.
Oh, man. He's going to bring up the Governor's Cup. I mean, I wonder... You know what James needs to do? And I don't...
I want him
to replay the sound from his post-game show of just how elated he was on the Governor's Cup. Just like a soft
James... To make it weird for JJ?
Yeah. Or just to say, this is the passion that you have from this guy you're sitting in across from. Look at us. But, yeah, that's...
And does JJ have any idea who Strebel is?
No.
Are you Ryan Lemon?
Maybe he does.
Shannon the Dude? I need that to happen. I need that sound clip. I just kind of want to go introduce myself. I was like, you're going on with Ryan Lemon. And, Just the Tip guy.
What happened?
Remember he faked his death? Remember that? Michael Bennett. Like, he said, just kidding. I didn't pass away. Weren't you in the group chat with me?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So
dead serious. Like, up until this moment, I thought he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, apparently.
Still dead, I guess.
This is inside baseball. People, like, does anybody know that? So, listen to us, know who we're even talking about. But he puts something out there. It's like, he had passed away.
I remember
this. And
then,
like, moments later, my buddy Corey Price.
Yes.
Said, like, retweeted it. I was like, oh, no.
That's the
like,
Kentucky Kelly Dickey.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to have a trivia off, like, in Billy Madison.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be epic. But then, like, an hour later, he goes, just kidding. My account was hacked.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding is not what you say if your account was hacked. You just say your account was hacked.
Yeah, it was hacked. Yeah, you say you got Buster only and whatnot, and somebody got into your account. So, yeah, apparently he's alive and well. Hopefully I didn't get that wrong and get got by Twitter, but that was a few months ago. But, wow, okay.
I do like the idea of a hacker figuring out whatever, Michael Bennett, right? Is that his name?
Just the Tip is probably his password.
Hacking that account and be like, forget it.
I think he had to change his name.
I can't do anything with this. An hour later, he's got her back under control, no problem.
True story. I don't think Cal would go on his show because it was named was Just the Tip. I do not think I'm making that
up. I would love to be a fly on the wall when someone explained to Cal what that means.
Yeah. I think he had to change the show name to Just the Cat. Like, 100%.
I don't disagree with Cal there. I'm not going to lie. I'd be like,
What am I going on?
Yes.
So, yeah. So, there you go. But, yeah, shout out to Louisville. Going to the Bahamas again, July 28th through August 2nd. So, get to see it. And I... Double D, if you're listening, I think the station could use an outing to the Bahamas. One of the
team building,
team building exercise. Trust falls in the Bahamas, going down a slide or something. But I hope that is not behind.
It would do a lot for my morale. Yeah, I can tell you that right now.
Oh yeah, that would help out a lot. But I hope that's not behind a paywall. Like, didn't the last one was like that flow?
Yes,
that flow TV. But it's like. What is on the ACC? I think that would be the ACC actually kickoff week, so they'll probably be all invested in football. But that feels like the perfect avenue to take some young interns from the ACC network off Floyd Street and just have it actually on there, like not some re-rack of Bobby Bowden.
Enough to go?
Sure, you can ban Wilder. Sure, they'll have some fun with you and let you go down there. But, yeah, hopefully it is on TV for that. But, yeah, that'll be a good way to see some of the new roster and team, because I got to be honest, I've been going through the roster and I've been like Googling their faces because it's an all new team. This is the new norm in college athletics. They're like, okay, so Chucky Hepburn, obviously you could know because I've seen him play at Wisconsin, but like
the discolored one little section of his hair. That's what I got.
And this has got to be terrible for you because you're terrible with jersey numbers.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So man,
the good news is they all look like very different.
Yes.
There's not a lot of opportunity for confusing one player for the other.
I just feel bad for Paul and Bob because they're just going to go into the first game and be like,
who are these guys? I'm curious if this is the old man in me, because it never bothered me in the NBA, but I'm curious because in college basketball now, they can go above five. So you got a guy in Kentucky who's 77.
77, right.
Because of Luka Doncic, and then I think somebody on Louisville was like 9. Which you in the past couldn't go past that. So, which it's a stupid rule to why it's like the refs didn't want to raise two
for hand signals, right?
Come on, you can raise one, but that's something where I feel like an old man along with why the coaches should go back into their suits, not wear PJs on the side of it. But I think I've been Jack Grossman's dad's been in my mind of because he wants to sell him some suits. So I am on the fence about that. Let him wear PJs. Let him look like 90s NFL coaches and Marty Schottenheimer with their starter jackets. I'm okay with that.
Look, I think you can dovetail in this Bahamas trip, this extra one. It fits in with the urgency of everything else, of the budget discussion, even from today. I think they've. I don't know if this was part of the interview process or what, but it's what. Even if they didn't intend for this message to get through, it has gotten through. There's really no time for this intermediate stage. You have got to be good right off the bat. We cannot have anything less than that.
Well, look, I sound like a Tony Robbins motivational speaker for that, but I see the Eric Spoelstra thing that pops up on my algorithm all the time when he's talking about LeBron James, how he folded his jersey in his locker room was pristine. And he goes, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I know that seems minor with the people who are going to poke fun at it with the shoe thing on Twitter.
Oh, not me.
Yeah. Well,
go.
It matters.
Keep going.
It matters. That matters. When the shoe goes off, it just comes across as okay, I am running a program in which these little things matter. And what was the kind of takeaways from the previous regime? Those things. Funny. Yeah. Get it. You can shoes untied.
Lighten up.
Okay. Lighten up. It's fine. But this stuff matters, and I think when you hear him talk and he talks about the gratitude and maybe he's just doing the, the car salesman thing, but I think it's genuine. He sounds like he's taking this job. He's grateful to be back in this part of the country, and it sounds like he knew the assignment, and he could poke fun, too, at he wasn't the first choice. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He even said that in his introductory press conference. So seeing that type of demeanor from somebody, it's a breath of fresh air. I don't know if the guy's gonna win national championships here. I don't know if he's gonna get the Final Fours, but it is the
complete opposite. That's Chris Beard.
Yeah, the Blanket Baker Bowl. We're aware. He's got to be sitting, as I've said, he's got to be sitting like John Y. Brown courtside for that. But, man, it's a breath of fresh air to see the energy that the guy's bringing and just stopping practice and saying he's going to throw it in the middle of Floyd Street if a shoe comes off again. Because, like you said, off the air and on the air, this stuff matters.
Yeah, is Louisville going to win games? I don't know what you're laughing at, but is Louisville going to win games because guys tied their shoes right? Probably not. But are you going to lose games if you're the kind of program where guys don't really care if they've got their shoes tied well or not? Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Teams that lose, they don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so I totally agree with you. I will take this energy. I was thinking about this on the way in. I just like everybody else, like I tweeted when they tweeted the video, I was like, I've been waiting for this. The shoe video?
Yeah.
I have been waiting for that. I'm excited about that, and it's kind of sad, but also kind of not sad that I'm excited to see somebody's maniacal.
Yeah, that stuff matters to in the energy. And look, I poked fun, and I know I sent you and Sweetie and Patty Ice in the group message. I think it was about the Tristan guy from one of the Kentucky blogs. It was like, there's an energy here with Mark Pope. He's communicating better. It's like almost like dunking on Cal because it's like, guys, he's still a Hall of Famer. But this is legit the complete opposite of what was here. And that's not to keep dunking on Kenny Payne. It's just a... It's a
still paying him. We can still dunk on him.
Exactly. Because of
that's my policy.
There it is from that. Oh, Strieble must begin his one-on-one with Weaver.
Dude, right he now. Is massive, though. I mean, thanks, rightfully Bob. So, though.
I know, man. That's the one that got away, man. The one that got away. But, yeah, it's a breath of fresh air for sure. And I think from the standpoint, I don't know if it's going to correlate to a 30% spike in season ticket sales, but I think that's an obtainable number with the excitement of like his give a bleep meter. Diener always says this all the time, like him calling that guy that was considering giving money to that little thing right there matters. And like when I go back to how you do one thing is how you do everything, the shoe thing, going that extra mile to make sure your shoe's tighter, going that extra, you know, 5 second call, or 5 minute call to this guy that was going to send his money to Kentucky. Like, I think it's ingrained in his DNA of, like, giving an extra bleep more than, like, he thinks the competition is. And I think that will translate to, I don't know, Final Fours or national championships, but it will translate to a better product and a better atmosphere and a culture that he is trying to instill here.
Yeah, I think, like, I've tried to, like, put my finger on it or try to articulate and say in such a way, like, what is it that makes people, we're talking about not just want them to win or watch them on TV, but go.
Right.
Be in the building and try to participate. And I think it is the visible or like discernible energy level. Because it's not just personality, because Chris Mack's really different. But early on, when there was, hey, he is pouring himself into this and he sees how important this is, people were there.
Yes.
And it wasn't until it felt like there was a rift and he was kind of withdrawing that people started to do the same thing. And with Kenny, that was never there. I think as long as he's doing these things that seem like his personality, that people are like, I want to reward that. But there's going to need to be a lot more.
Well, and it's like, how do you get back to the FOMO? Like, that's what I'm fascinated to see. Like, it was must-do events. Like, it was must-not-see-TV. It was must-attend events, like, where you had FOMO if you didn't go to the game. Yeah. And how do you get back to that? And I think that'll be the energy. Some players that maybe are flying under the radar, you start seeing that little number. I know people say it doesn't matter. I think it absolutely matters when you have your little number next to you on ESPN game where I don't care if it's 25 or 8th in the country. Being a ranked team like does something for the psyche of seeing your name up there for your team. So I think it'll maybe start out. I don't know what the Bahamas trip will be like for the first one, but I think it's good that they'll get to go to the battle for the Atlantis, right? Is the one they're doing there. The
Bahamar is this trip.
Good old ballroom gets the bellhops, huh?
That's right. Got the guy. Remember the several years ago. What was it? 2013? 12, 11, 2011?
Yeah.
Where it was like one guy wore the wrong shorts on the other team. And then there was a bellhop who couldn't play. He had to work.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they said. He couldn't play. He had to work.
Yeah, so I think, look, these are good.
Need more of that.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, breaking these things down, getting back to the good energy. And look, you built a solid, solid roster that many have ranked in the top, depending which metrics I've seen, as high as number 2 to number 5, depending on which sites you go to. And,
did the roster build go better than you thought it would?
Yeah, I think so.
Me too.
I mean, there were some that, like, you thought maybe they'd land more, and I know that was Strebel's MO, was like saying they were striking out and, you know, the sky is falling on some of these things, but look, you're not going to get everything. You're not going to get the big names on every single time, especially in this uncharted.
Not 13 of them.
Right. Yeah. And especially with like the Coleman stuff, like everybody was pointing to that. It's like the guy's asking $2 million. Like, they also have to be fiscally responsible, yeah, and not have a Jeff Brom, Penny Boone situation, yeah, where there's going to be the toxic type of environment amongst the locker room. You, I mean, look, that's you're just as much as a coach, you are a sports psychologist with this. You, yes, got to stroke guys' egos, and if you think some guy's going to be difficult in part of the locker room, and not saying that he is, but they're going to do their homework on these guys, and if they think there's going to be some energy vampires, which was my crutch in the Kenny Payne stuff, then they're probably not going to make it work out here.
All right, let's go take a quick break. Phil, thanks for sitting in, man.
Of course, man.
Good,
yeah, have fun
to
with
catch
Jeff.
Up with you. Jeff Lights is going to be in here for the rest of the show. We'll open up the phone lines, talk with you guys. We'll let you hear some of these Josh Hurd clips and more on The Drive on 9th Evanville. Be right back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. in here. Now, you're a good soldier for shepherding J.J. Weaver through the Strebel experience.
Man, he was fanboying over there. He was happy. He was hype about it.
I have no problem believing this whatsoever.
Thank you for, I saw the photo. Once they started doing the L's down, you're like, I got to get out of here.
Nah, there's no way I was participating in that.
Got to protect the brand here.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? No,
come on, guys. What's going on? Because he said, we might as well do it. I'm like, might as well do what?
What is we?
We. No way in hell I was not going to do that. But no, it was fun, though. JJ was a good sport. He talked a lot about his foundation and different things he's got going on. And, of course, he's got his camp tomorrow. So that was the big thing, promoting his camp and more high school, just free to everybody. 10 to 2, and it's going
to
be packed.
Were you able to accidentally do anything that might make him ineligible for this upcoming season? No?
No, I wasn't. All right.
It's always next time.
Ugh, did Strebel ask about his extra finger?
No.
I thought he would. We would have lost money on that one.
Yeah, no, he didn't ask about that.
We took the over on.
But he was hyperventilating. Like, he was seeing a celebrity. Like, he was happy about it. Because he thought JJ was only going to call. But he actually came in the studio.
You sprung it on him,
and
huh?
It was like, oh, he's coming in studio? I'm like, yeah, he'll be here. And then there he was. And it was good. It was fun, though. Hated the way he did. I had to ask him about, like, what the hell was going on in your mind when you played Louisville last year? Like, was it something? He's like, yeah, that was the week my brother passed, so I was angry. It's like, oh.
It showed.
Yeah, it did. It did a lot. Like, pretty much. Pretty much.
Man, I really thought that went out over the air. Woo! You all don't know. Because it all, listen, the producers can talk to us in our ears, or they can talk out over the air. To us, it sounds the same.
It all sounds the same.
And just
that's why I love doing it there. And then all you guys give me a look, and I'm like, don't worry, it's not
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong at all. But Jeff Lightsey Jr. here with us, 8150. 93.9, that's the number if you want to get in here. 38 31 939 for the UPS jobs text line. We talk about the budget,
yes,
and the announcement now official. We thought it would be by about today that they are going to make a second trip to the Bahamas. So props to these guys, not one, two trips to the Bahamas in the same year. Not bad.
Why not?
Not bad at all.
Sounds like a good time.
I think I could make it work. I could learn to love it. Absolutely. For sure. Just gut level reactions to that. Now you know, hey, they're going to make this Bahamas trip.
I like it a lot. One, for multiple reasons. One, when you bring in 13 new guys, the sooner that you can play basketball, the better. The sooner that you can learn guys' tendencies, what they like, what they don't like, what, you know, works well, what doesn't work so well. Because you have an idea, but nothing is like actually getting out on the court and playing against other people. There's nothing that can compare to that. And so getting that opportunity in July, early August to get two games, game situations, game feels, game like tendencies from your coaches, from your players, when everybody's new to each other. Not only are they new to here, they're new to each other.
Yeah.
Outside of the Charleston guys with Pat Kelsey's staff, like everybody's new to each other. So getting an opportunity to get in game like situations is amazing. Two, I also like it for the NIL opportunities. As we know, we have foreign-born players, players born outside the United States, and getting an opportunity to travel to the Bahamas will get them those NIL opportunities they may not have gotten if they played every game on U.S. soil. And so it's a weird rule, it's the way the NCAA works. I don't know why it works like that, but it does. And so having that opportunity to make sure they're taken care of that way, I also am a fan of. And so I think in all aspects, it's just a win-win. You only get to do one of these every 4 years. And so having this year be the year, it's like the perfect year to do it with a brand new team, brand new coaching staff, and needing to get to know each other ahead of a very, very tough season. I mean, the schedule is not easy. When you play Tennessee and Kentucky and the ACC-SEC Challenge, and even the schools from Kentucky like Morehead and EKU that you play, like they're going to be looking to beat you. They're going to have a lot of fans that come to those games. All of that stuff matters. And so that's why I think this is a really, really big time trip for them.
Yeah, and like I know in preseason they'll do those, the secret scrimmages.
Yes.
But there really is nothing like, it's what Luke talked about really at length on Tuesday, just the value of the interpersonal element of like going out on the road with those guys and it being in a game setting, because there's really, you're going to see what these guys are like on a plane.
Yeah.
In the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're going to learn what they're like getting ready for a road game. You know, being away from home.
Yeah.
Or where they're used to being, all the, like all of those things that just give you little bits of information about them. I'm happy that virtually everything that they've done so far seems to communicate some form of like, we can't take our time with this.
Absolutely.
And that's where I feel like it intersects with the budget talk today. Mm. Like there's, there really is no time for these intermediate steps. They've got to be good, and we're doing every single thing we can for them to be good right off the bat.
And like you said, it all kind of correlates. Like the reason why the budget was so messed up today is because basketball's been messed up for 2 years. Like that's just it. It's a direct correlation. It's not when you're $2 million under budget, like that's bad. Like it's really, really bad when you fall $2 million short of a budget that you already
that you
cut
reduced.
Short. Yeah, that you already cut short. So it's like, nah, we need this thing to pick up. Like we need this thing to be what it's supposed to be. And we need it to be that right now. And so therefore, taking this international trip, I'm gonna spend money to make money essentially. I'm gonna send our team over there, but we're gonna get to know each other. We're gonna see what works early. We're gonna find these things out in game situations or as much as we can in July. And of course, this isn't the full final product, but it's gonna tell you what your foundation is and what you're working with. Okay, this is what Cason Pryor's like in this situation. This is what Noah Waterman, this is what Chucky Hepburn or whoever is like, because I don't know these guys just yet. And I don't know them in game situations yet. And once I get to know that, it'll help everything. And that's what I'm most excited about, to really seeing, seeing the actual basketball. Like, what does Coach Kelsey's teams look like in Louisville jerseys? Right, like I know what they look like for Charleston, I know what they look like for Winthrop, but what do they look like wearing a Louisville jersey? Like, what is he like as a coach, as far as demeanor on the sideline and stuff like that? Like, people pay attention to that stuff. Like, will this look fun and exciting, or will it be like, I don't know about that? Like, all of that stuff, the actual basketball product itself is also going to matter a ton.
Yeah, I don't really even know, I think, how far along they can realistically be.
Yeah, not very far at all.
Yeah, they're going to get, but they're going to get 10 practices ahead of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm one of these guys, maybe like James Scott or somebody, where like there are people in my position, but it doesn't seem like there's an obvious pecking order. Mm-hmm. And like, I want to get ahead and stay ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I want to head down there, feeling like I've distanced myself, and we're gonna come back here, and I would love to be in a place where like the coaches are like, okay, well, we know we got this.
Yes.
And I don't know how realistic any of that is, but if I'm a player, like, this is your first opportunity to make an actual impression.
Yeah, and not just to the coaches. I don't know if these games will be broadcasted, but if they are,
that's still fairly up in the air.
Yeah, but if they are, you can make an impression on the fan base too. Like, even if it's not with a crazy stat line. Yeah. Like, sometimes it is not always about points and rebounds and assists. It's about like, oh no, that guy just jumps off the screen. Like, whoever that may be, whether it's James Scott or Fats Edwards or whoever, like, somebody's going to jump off the screen to the viewer at home. And we're going to start picking favorites. Like, we're like, hey, like, some of us are already doing it now, but when we see them in actual game situations, especially over two games, somebody's going to become a favorite player of demographics of the fan base, and that's going to be cool to see.
You think people are already picking favorites now?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Oh, 100. They're already picking favorites.
Who are the early leaders?
Cason Pryor.
Okay.
He was easily up there. Fats Edwards, because his name is Fats Edwards. Like, it's easy for people.
A good nickname.
It's people that they're really going to like that. So those two jump off immediately.
And Cason then, Pryor, because he looks like he might be our a-hole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
I feel like Rain's going to be up there just because he's that McMahon type who shoots threes.
We love
a guy that can shoot threes.
Absolutely. And I mean, when his coach goes on and says he's one of the best shooters in the world, didn't say he's one of the best shooters in college basketball. Say he's one of the best shooters in the world.
I was going to say, that's Steph Curry.
Yes. What are we going to do if he goes down to the Bahamas and he's like 2 for 14?
Let's go look.
Like, oh, man. We're never going to believe any of these guys ever again.
like it's going to be tough. He's got to go out there and light it up after your coach say that. Like, you can't go and shoot 15%. Can't go down there and shoot like the Celtics from 3-point. No, I'm just messing
with you. I mean, hey, we still won the ring. Doesn't matter how bad it was.
Yeah, I saw the parade today. That's what made me think of that. But no,
that was an insane crowd.
It was a lot of people out there. Man, I was actually impressed. As much as I hate to say it, but I was impressed by how many people came out for the Celtics parade in Boston.
You would think parades would be slightly old hat for Boston. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No, not wrong. But it's been a while since the Celtics had, you know, a summer parade because the Bruins in 2011. Because they had the Patriots kept winning and back in the Brady days, so it was every other year for a time. But no.
A long time.
Yeah.
20-year period.
Well, no, because you had three, and then you had like a 10-year gap, and then another 3 and 5, so.
A 10-year gap.
Yeah.
Did that really happen?
Yeah, no, there was.
It happened. They did an AFC title game every other year, and making a couple Super Bowl appearances that they lost. The damn Giants.
Shout out to Eli.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious with, like, back to Louisville, like, if this, they booked the Bahamas trip to have, like, a summer where it's like, okay, this time get all your fun out, like, whitewater rafting, go to all the parks, the water parks. Then November, it's like, it's business. We're going to focus on the games. Have a little bit of fun, but, like, the summer's more of where you do the excursions you can do in the Bahamas, whereas the November trip's like, let's focus on the basketball games.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any chance that they're looking at that Bahamas, the second one, like, there's any fun to be had there.
Oh, not at all.
Like zero.
Yeah.
Those games
count.
They have to. Yeah, because I think they've got to come back. Like, they got to win a game down there.
Oh, absolutely.
They got to come back. Depending on, for instance, how the Tennessee game goes, like, they've got to come back from that with a little bit of pep.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some difficult games on the schedule between then and conference play starting. Like, no, I think they've got to come back from that Bahamas trip with some confidence.
No, you're 100% right. And the field is not easy. Like, it's good teams in that field. And so, just to your point, this trip, I think the one in July, there are going to be a lot of fun things in there because that's part of the team building, chemistry building, camaraderie building that we want to do. Because once again, everybody is new. Like this is like the rare instance. Well, it's not so rare. Happens in college sports all the time now. but one of those instances where you're building a team from scratch. Now, every year is not going to be like this, of course, but this year is uniquely like that. And so you want to do things so you can get to know guys better, both on and off the court. So there will be, I think, more fun play. And between, you know, for the 6-7 days you're there, you're playing two games as opposed to, you know, games every day or every other day. So, like, you have downtime, and it is still July, late early August, late July. So it's a little bit more time before the season. But you also still want to execute. You also still want to see what you have basketball-wise. Like, you want to see, like, put these guys in these situations. What does it look like when the team across from you is looking to beat you? When the team across from you isn't wearing cardinal red, right? Like, what does that look like in a game scenario? You're down, you know, say they're down five with, you know, 5 minutes left. How do you guys react? What is the best lineup? You're kind of finding some of those things out this early before the season even starts, and that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, it might be choppy.
Yeah,
but it might not.
Like, yeah, it might not.
At some point, because not only are some of these guys older, a lot of these guys older, a lot of these guys, this is not their second team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of these guys have already done this, where they've gone somewhere else, learned a different system. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the third team for several of these guys. And then you've got the guys who already know the way Kelsey does things anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think this is... They're not starting from zero. Like, these guys know a lot of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a chance, I think, to get... I don't think they want anything to be new when the fall starts.
No, not at all. You can't, like, because then you don't hit the ground.
Can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you don't hit the ground running if it is.
Yeah.
So that's why this is so important. And to that point, that's why this team will have, like, a business-type mindset, because this isn't their first go around or their second. Some of them, like you said, it's their third, and a lot of them it's their last year to get whatever they want to get out of college basketball. So whatever that is, if you want to be an NBA prospect, if you want to be a professional basketball prospect, and if you want to go out however you want to go out, like, this is your last year and you get one chance to do it, and you're doing it with 12 new guys, so everybody better bond together really quick if you want this to be a successful final year of college basketball for you, and that matters.
How excited were you, and how, like, aware of your excitement were you to just see the first instance of the whole Pat Kelsey shoe thing?
It felt good. I wish he would have got the shoe. Like, but it looks like, and it was funny watching the guys react. At least the guys that know.
Yes.
Like, you saw some of them like almost like hold their breath. And then Kelsey comes running out of left field, trying to snatch the shoe out of his hand. It's like, hey, if I see your shoe on the ground, like, because everybody isn't like us watching all the old videos and what is it.
Right.
So they don't know that stuff until it actually happens to them. And it's like, if I see any of you guys' shoes on the ground, I'm taking it to the parking lot and I'm launching it as far as I can. And I think it was Frank whose shoe came off. And Frank tweeted and was like, noted. Like
let's lace them up.
Yeah.
This is what he tweeted. Yeah, let's lace them up.
Lace them up.
That was the thing. Like, I saw Frank Ansel, his tweet, because it was his shoe that comes off in the video, and him tweet that, like, let's lace them up. It worked.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the whole point of this is getting back to having a coach who is obsessive about every little thing, and that there aren't any things that are that don't matter. There are no neutral things. Tie your shoes right. Wear your warm-up stuff right.
Mm-hmm.
Wear the right shoes when you're on the coach's show. Everything. All of it. And if nothing else, it's just about, like, is every little thing I'm doing exactly right? That's Louisville.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. I mean, can't say it any better. Like, because it shows that you care.
Yeah.
It shows that this stuff matters to you. Like, it shows, like, it goes back to that mindset of, this is what I've worked my entire life for. I'm at the pinnacle of my profession, and I'm treating it like that, and I'm gonna make sure my players treat it like that. Because you know why I'm at the pinnacle? Because I've been at Winthrop, and I've been at College of Charleston, and it ain't this. Like, I've been at those places, and it ain't this. So therefore, I'm going to treat this place like what it is, and you should too. And that includes keeping your shoes tight and lacing up, because that could cost us 2 points in a game. Your shoe comes off and you're fiddling with your shoe, whatever, and they're running a fast break, and that could cost us 2 points. And 2 points can be the difference to winning and losing a game. And that's what it all comes back to. And it all is like, it's just refreshing seeing it once again, man. It just really
and like, this is a good compare and contrast kind of example to the whole stupid baseline video from last year. Do you remember that? Yeah. Because I think that was Kenny's attempt at showing, like, we're super focused on all the little details too, but everyone knew so many other things that weren't that. It was like, no, now you're weirdly focused on something when you're not clearly not focused on all these other things.
Yeah,
when it's part else. When it's part of like what you do, and actually this is just how maniacally consistent I am. We're all the way down here on shoes coming off in practice. That's exciting.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, you want to be serious about that? That's annoying.
Yeah, like the last coach let anything go, and now it's like, yeah, your shoes are coming undone. Like next time we have Pat Kelsey on, I'm sure Mark will probably find a way to ask him about shoes in practice. And correct. Has anyone's shoes come off since then?
Collected any? Yeah. Shoes have you collected?
He'll
this
probably
season?
Track how many times guys' shoes have
absolutely.
Come off.
Absolutely.
I totally believe that.
Like counting deflections.
And I mean, to your point, Jeff's like, look, he's made to the pinnacle of the profession, but also, if it doesn't go well, he may never get another shot mm-hmm. at this. Like, he'll probably find it, like Mac found his footing at, ironically, Charleston, but, you know, you never know if he'll be back at this level again. So, Pat Kelsey's making the most of this opportunity. We can tell from day one that he is going to make this work or die trying.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that it's,
if he dies, we don't have to pay him a buyout.
No.
Is that a rule?
I'm hoping.
The estate doesn't get
I don't want it to die. I'm just saying. we just can't do another buyout. I'm no, just saying. Like, I'm glad he has that approach.
You got to get rid of some of these buyouts already, man. Like it's the budget is... It was crazy reading that, like when Crawford put it out.
I mean, play the clips here.
It was crazy because, you know, you need... Because Louisville athletics needs Louisville basketball to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that simple, man. Like, it's... Football runs collegiate sports mostly, like greatly, everywhere else. But here, basketball matters a lot. Like, it matters a whole
lot. And on the budget, they're about even. They're just about even in terms of revenue. Basketball actually still just a little bit more than football.
Yes.
This year.
And that was in bad years. That's coming off back-to-back bad years. Like, imagine when you're back to winning 22, 23, 24 games a season, what that'll look like. Like, that's, like, imagine, you just said football and basketball were even, and basketball couldn't get 5,000 people a game. They were still even with the football revenue. Like, that's telling you how important it is here. That's telling you how important it is here and how important it is for them to be good and for them to pack out the Yum Center, for them to get people back downtown and to, you know, frequenting those establishments down there. Like, it impacts, it doesn't just impact Louisville athletics, which it greatly impacts them. It impacts the entire city. And I think this staff and their approach is that. Like, yo, we matter not just to the economy of our athletic department greatly, which they do, but it matters to the economy of this entire city. And when we're good, this city is good to us. But if we're bad, it's not good for anybody. And that's what's going to change, and that's what I'm happy about seeing the moves that are being made. It's
like, really cool. Like football last year, you had Notre Dame and Kentucky at home. So you had two home games that were damn near sellouts if they weren't actually. And they sure brought a lot of money in. But basketball, you know, the numbers are there's what, 20-something home games-ish, and the crowds were terrible outside maybe Kentucky and maybe a few others, but that's just I'm surprised the numbers were that close, actually, that basketball was still technically leading, I guess. But I guess when you have more home games, maybe the numbers fluctuate a little bit.
Well, and it is a reminder of, like, when things are hopping, like, that they print money down there.
Yes, they do.
But you've got to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now in this, you know, one, you got all this damn buyouts on the books. You got to flush that.
Oh, my goodness.
But you've got to start preparing for this sort of massive, what, $20 million that you've got to sort of come up with and whatever the sort of the next model is. So we'll talk a little bit later on. Jim Phillips actually said something that sounded moderately commissionerly.
Oh, man.
Just about
that's a
like the
shocker.
Yeah, I know. In particular, saying we're not settling with Florida State or Clemson. To hell with that.
Ooh,
I'm like,
okay, Jim.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, a little bit. We'll talk about all of that. We'll take a quick break. We'll play some of these Josh Hurd clips from the good folks at WDB on the other side here. So we'll take a quick break. Be right back. We'll take your calls, your texts, all that fun stuff here on The Drive on Antenneville. Be right back.